Are we here? Yeah. All right, so we're just going to the Word this morning. Let's just go into the Word this morning. Let us agree in prayer. Let us go into the Word. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your Spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving, and we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of your Word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the Word of truth this morning. I will declare and decree that as we go into the Word, Christ alone is glorified, and we are edified. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Right, so go with me to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Go all the way with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12. Okay? 1 Corinthians 12. We'll try and teach a little extensively today. Let's see how far we can go with that. Yeah, but chapter 12, verse 1 of 1 Corinthians says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant." I will not have you ignorant. So he says, now concerning spiritual. Now, we said over time that the word spiritual there is a word that has to do with pertaining the things of the Spirit, or things of the Spirit, so to say, right? Things of the Spirit. Spiritual there means things of the Spirit. The word concerning, we say, is the word pertaining, is what that has to do with that Greek word we said, peri. That means focus, or to talk around, or talk about something, or respect to something. So Paul says now, regarding, concerning, pertaining the things of the Spirit. That's what you have spiritual there. And the reason, you see, gifts there's in italics, and I've, you know, we've talked about time that when you see what it looks like, that a lot of times it wasn't added in the original man. It wasn't found in the original manuscript. But however, if you look through the context of what Paul is teaching in 1 Corinthians 12, he's talking about gifts. So to a very large extent, he's actually talking about gifts, and that word gifts can still fly there, right? But, you know, it says now concerning spirituals, I have you to be ignorant. Now, we also said that a believer might not, or a man might not know what he has as a believer, right? So Paul says, I would not have you to be ignorant. If you go back to chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 2, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 first. You can go through verse 9 to verse 10 to verse 12. It says, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ears heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Now, a lot of times we read this context or this scripture and make it talk around several things. So people start their year, and, you know, the prophecies they go with in the beginning of the year is, you know, this year the things we'll experience will be things that I had not seen, ears has not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man. But if we look properly in context, we'll find out that the next verse says, but God has, right? God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. So God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, right? So it means the things that I had not seen, ear has not heard, is not a blank statement. However, it has to do with something regarding his Spirit. Look at verse 10 again. God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. And go all the way to now we have received. It says, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Because at one more time, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. All right? So it means that what Paul is teaching here is that when it comes to the matter of the Spirit of God, it's a past tense. It is we have received. Altogether, it is we have received. We have received. We have received. We have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. We have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know, right? So it's important to know what you have received, right? So for an average man, it's important to receive. When a man receives, he needs to know. Paul will now say in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 1, and that I will not have you to be ignorant. So ignorance will be sort of somewhat the opposite of knowledge, right? Yeah, so ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand. So for one who is in ignorance, what he needs is understanding, right? For one who is in ignorance, what he or she needs is understanding, right? For one in ignorance, what he or she needs is understanding. So Paul now goes further to talk about certain things in verse 4, okay? So Paul goes to verse 4. Remember, we've already spoken about what the believer has. We said the believer has the Spirit of God. We said the believer has received the Spirit of God. We said the believer is one who is born again. We said the believer is one who is indwelt by the Spirit of God, right? So and Paul now says, now there are, so if you look at verse 4, together, now there are, now there are. So you see, look through verse 2. It says, ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. So you cannot by utterance or by the word of God or by the Spirit of God, you know, call Jesus accursed. Now the word there accursed is very important. If you go to Galatians 2, go to Galatians chapter 2, go to Galatians 1. Galatians. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Go to Galatians 1. Now look at verse 8. Galatians 1, verse 8. But though we, right? Okay, go back to verse 7. Which is not, no, go back to verse 6. Right? So Galatians 1, verse 6. Galatians chapter 1. Verse 6, what does it say? It says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now look how it says in verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. It says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have received or we have preached, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. Now that word be accursed there does not mean to lay a curse on them. It doesn't mean to curse them. It doesn't mean to say your father's mother, mother's great father. Yeah, no, that's not what it means. The word be accursed just really means to be separated, to be put aside. See that word accursed in verse 9, Galatians 1 verse 9. Let him be accursed. Let him be separated. Let him be accursed. Let him be separated. Okay, right? That's the same word. Similar to the same word you find in 1 Corinthians 12. So it now says, no man speaking by the Holy Ghost calleth Jesus accursed. Right? That means you cannot separate. You don't do that distinction. Right? No man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man that can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Are we together? Right? So the conversation around Jesus and the Holy Ghost are not conversations you separate. That's what's teaching there, right? Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, right? There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So, what is Paul's emphasis now going into verse 4? Gifts, right? There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, it says, there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. Now, what is consistent in verse 4, and it's also consistent with verse 5? You see the word same. Altogether. Right, you see the word same, right? So, and there are diversities of gifts, verse 4. There are differences of administrations, right? But it is the same Lord. Now, one of the things you must pay attention to is that Paul is addressing conversations to the church in Corinth, right? They had questions for Paul, and Paul will tackle those questions by his letter or with his letter. Yeah, we looked at that a few weeks ago when we said that Paul was saying, now concerning that question, now concerning food offers to idols, now concerning, you know, and the covering of hair, you know, he goes on to all of those matters in chapter 14 as well, and chapter 16, sorry. Okay, so now if you look through verse 12, Paul is addressing conversations around the gifts of the Spirit. Very important, right? So he's saying that there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Right, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration. Yeah, there are differences of administration, but it is the same Lord. So when it comes to gifts, when it comes to diversities of gifts, differences of administration, what you must consider is that the same Lord or the same God is responsible for all. Yeah? So if you look through verse 7, let's look at verse 6 first. So there are diversities of operations, right? But it is the same God which worketh all in all. It is the same God which worketh all in all. That's very, very important to note, right? So you see, same Spirit, same Lord, same God. So verse 4, same Spirit. Verse 5, same Lord. Verse 6, same God, right? But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Now, we said that that use of grammar there, to one, for to one, you know, another, all around, it picks his basis from the Greek word men, right? And that word men, if you go on with Ephesians 4, let me show you from Ephesians 4 again. Ephesians chapter 4. Praise God forevermore. Are we here? Are we here? Mm-hmm. Lovely, lovely, lovely. Ephesians 4. If you look at verse 9, now that he ascended, what is he then? Now that he ascended, what is he then? Now that he ascended, what is it then? Right? What is it but that he also descended? Right? First into the lower part of the earth, he that descended is the same also that ascended. Now if you look at verse 11, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Well, a lot of theologians argue that, you know, the word there, sons, are repeated over and over consistently, and in the original Greek it has only one son. Yes, some of the what I noticed over time is that some of the Greek Bibles have that slant, such that only one son is mentioned in that, but there are also others as well that repeat the word son. However, my point is this: the word son in the Greek is the word men, men, what you call men, what you can pronounce as men in English. The word their son is the word men, right? And that's the word that means certainly or truly or indeed. Certainly, truly, or indeed, right? So, for he gave some. Now, a lot of times, what we read that scripture to mean is that there are some people. Now, the truth does not take, the fact does not change that there are some people that will be ministry gifts. The truth is that not every believer will be a ministry gift. Every believer will be a discipler that will have disciples. Every believer can should be able to teach God's word. But when it comes to the gifts that are given, they are gifts and offices that not every believer will operate in. Right? Yeah, every believer cannot be ministry gifts. Are we together? But every believer can, we can receive each another as gifts in ministry. Are we together? But when it comes to the offices discussed in Ephesians 4, not every believer will work in those offices. I went together. However, you know, God has placed a structure, and the reason rather is because God has placed a structure of order. I went together, right? So if he says that, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, we're saying the word their son means certainly. So your attention should not as much go into a unique set amongst a wide population. Let me say it one more time, right? When he says some, right? Yeah, so you can say, give me some Byros, give me some some pegs or something, right? Yeah, so give me some pegs means that you are picking a portion from the whole, right? But this word some, if you look at the Greek origin, the Greek rendering of that word is a word that actually just means indeed, certainly, right? So how will you read Ephesians 4 properly? And he gives certainly apostles. So there's a certainty of the office of apostleship. There's a certainty of the apostle, of the office of the pastor. There's certainty. So all those offices are given as gifts to the body. All together. And look at the entire goal for verse 12. The goal of each of them is for the perfecting of the saints for the work of ministry. It says for the edifying of the body of Christ. Look at one more time. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, if you go back to 1 Corinthians 12, that's where we are, right? I'm going to try and see if I can do a rundown through 1 Corinthians 12. Right today, are we together? Are we here?
Yes, sir.
Beautiful. Oh, glory to God forevermore. Yeah, so if you are here, look at verse, where are we? Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with her. Yeah, it says 4 to 1, right? Now, what you should see is not that the Spirit is giving one believer. You see, did you remember how we said some in the previous Ephesians 4? We said some will be a part of a whole, right? If you look at the English rendition of 1 Corinthians 12 verse 1, 4 to 1, is that not similar to some? That means there is one in the whole, yeah? So it looks like let's say we are 6 here, for instance, right? Yeah, so 4 to 1 is given by the Spirit, the word of wisdom. So the Spirit just comes into this room and says, ah, Sister Sharon, one is for you, right? And the one that is for you is what? The word of wisdom, right? Sister Marachi, one is for you. And the one that is for you is word of knowledge. So you have word of wisdom, she has word of knowledge, then both of you can now exchange. No, that's not how it works, right? Why can it not work that way? If we conclude that that is the way it works, it means that we must get to a conclusion that says that tongues is not for every believer. Are you here? We ought to. So if you go all the way to another verse 9, faith, to another gift of healing, verse 10, the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, right? To another diverse kind of. If you look at the Bible very well, the word diverse is in italics, right? So you can say to another genus of tongues, yeah. What's the word? Glossia, right? So it says kinds of tongues. It says to another interpretation. If we conclude that one person has word of knowledge, another person has word of wisdom, then we ought to stop teaching Mark 16. Yeah? So hold your hands in 1 Corinthians 12 and go to Mark 16. Then when you go to Mark 16, you'll go to Acts 2. Okay? Yeah? Then when you go to Acts 2, we'll see what Acts 1 is saying first. Okay? So look at Mark 16. Yeah? Why do you have so many fingers? It's just so that you can open different parts of the Bible seamlessly. Look at Mark 16. Mark chapter 16. So, look at 15. Mark 16, 15. It says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Look at that one more time. Go ye into all the world and preach the word and preach the gospel to every there means every. Right? So, he that believeth and is baptized is saved. Look how it says in verse 17. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. That means everyone that believes can cast out devils. It now says, in my name, verse 17, they shall cast out devils and they shall speak with new tongues. You see, if I was going to write verse 17 in God's Palace translation, I probably would say, they shall all speak. I went together. They shall all speak with new tongues. I went together. So every believer can speak with tongues. So there is no how we can justify that every believer can speak in tongues, yet when we go to 1 Corinthians 12, we say some are given the gift of tongues, some are given the gift of word of knowledge, some are given the gift of healing. For us to accept that some will operate in word of wisdom, some will operate in word of wisdom, word of knowledge, yet we should also accept that some will operate in tongues. That means when you see a believer who says they don't speak in tongues, you should be happy with them because they may not be amongst the selected few. Or the selected psalm, in quotes. All together, look at Acts 2. So if you go to Acts 2, Acts 2:4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with tongues. Right? So how many of them spoke in tongues? How do you know it's all? Because it tells you they were all filled. So if they were all filled, it means all of them spoke in tongues. It means that we can also justify that, or not justify, that 1 Corinthians 12 will mean some people have the ability to speak in tongues. So tongues is for some people. Did you see that? Are we here?
Yes.
Yeah? So, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they began to speak with tongues. They began to speak. Now, how did Paul, you know, we paid attention to what happened in Acts 2 over the last few weeks, right? We said that what would have happened definitely would be tongues interpretation, what Paul would call prophecy. Now, look at how Paul explains what happened in Acts 2:14, right? And did I say Paul? Sorry, Peter. Yeah? Look at what Peter did in Acts 2:14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, ye men of Judea, and ye that dwell, right? Ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. So where is Paul? Where is Peter teaching from?
Jonah.
How do you know it's Jonah? He's there in Abbey. Yeah. What did he say? He said, "Be it known unto you, hearken to my words, for these are not drunken, as you suppose," in verse 15, "seeing it is the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by" who? Prophet Joel. So when will you see that which was spoken by Prophet Joel? In the book of Joel. So go run to Joel now. Let me just show you that quickly. Joel 2:28. Look at Joel 2. So, who is Joel?
Prophet.
Joel is who?
The prophet.
Joel is a
prophet.
So, who is a prophet? One who says what number?
One who speaks for us.
One who speaks on behalf of. You see, the word prophet in the Hebrew is the word Nabai, right? It just really means a spokesperson. Do you remember the man called Abimelech?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Do you remember the man called Abimelech? What did the Bible say about Abimelech? What did God say to Abimelech about Abraham?
He said Abraham is a prophet.
He's a prophet. So who was Abraham? So Abraham was not necessarily somebody who was seeing people's phone number. You ate food. Yeah? Abraham was not necessarily saying, you know, this is what you ate this morning, this is what you ate last night, this is where you went. So are those things involved in our Christian faith? Oh, yes, they are. But a prophet is not known by how accurate you can be to somebody's phone number you've not met before. Altogether, a prophet is not known scripturally, right? A prophet will first be known. How does he speak God's counsel to mankind? How does he speak God's counsel to humanity? Very important. How does he speak God's counsel to humanity? How does he speak God's counsel to mankind? Right? So Joel is a prophet. It means once we accept he's a prophet, we need to see what did he say regarding what God will do. Or what God is doing. Yeah? So Joel 2. Have I told you the verse to go to?
Yes.
Verse 1?
28.
Lovely. Let's go to 28. "And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit." Go back to verse 25. This will get troublesome today. Okay? Go back to verse 23. "Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he had given you the former rain moderately, and it will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillars, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty." Are we here? "Ye shall eat in plenty, be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord God that had dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be what? Ashamed." Okay, look at verse 27. "And ye shall know that I am the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit." So restore the years of cankerworm has eaten. Restore the year palm worm has eaten. Is that about your business? Look at how that narrative jumps into what Peter explains that happened on the day of Pentecost. What did Peter say? As Prophet Joel said, right? But before we saw where Peter quoted from, Peter would have read the book of Joel, right? So Peter is teaching the conclusion of Joel. Okay, hold your hands in Joel. You go to Numbers 11. Go to Numbers 11:32. Don't forget you're in 1 Corinthians 12, right? Then you're in Acts 2. Then you're in Numbers 11. Then you're in Joel. Then Numbers. Are you in Numbers 11? Look at verse 29. "And Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were" what?
"Prophets."
"Would God that all the Lord's people were"
"prophets."
"And the Lord would put his spirit upon" "upon who?"
"Upon them."
Is that God's people? So is God's plan that all his people will be prophets?
Yes.
What will prophet be? Spokes? Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's God's will and God's plan that the people of God will be prophets. That is, they will be spokespeople. So where is Joel teaching from? numbers, right? So Joel is a student of Moses. Peter is a student of Joel. Is that right?
Yeah.
So Joel is a student of Moses, right? Peter is a student of Joel, by extension, Moses. I don't follow it. So he says, envious thou for, and the Lord will put his spirit upon them. And Moses got him into the camp, he and the elders of Israel, and there went forth a wind from the Lord and brought quails. Okay? Right. So if you look through there, he now goes back to, go back to Joel. Joel chapter 2. Are you in Joel 2:28? And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall
prophesy.
Your sons and daughters shall
prophesy.
What did Moses say? It is God's will that all his children will
prophesy.
Now, is that not right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Moses has said it is God's will that all his children will prophesy. Joel now calls back to re-echo it. But what is the difference between what Joel wrote and what Moses wrote? Look at the difference. Difference is that Joel begins to say, your sons, your daughters, your young men. Look at it again. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour my spirit upon all. So where is your emphasis on? Is it on the son, on the daughter, on the young men, or the old men?
No.
No? What should your emphasis be on?
All
flesh. Are we together? Mm-hmm. Moses already said, I would that God will have all. So where would your emphasis be in Joel chapter 2? It will be upon all flesh. So it means that when you see sons, daughters, young men, what is Joel describing? Categories of all flesh. Are we together? So you must not say that your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream. So you are saying that, oh, when it comes to dream, it's for old men. When it comes to prophecy, it's for sons and daughters. Then for young men, they shall see vision because they have not lived for long on earth. So their vision is still ahead. Vision 2025, vision 2030. No. So he's just describing the dynamics that will be included within the category of all men. Guess what? The fact that Joel tells you sons and daughters means he's inclusive of male and female. Are we together? So did we have only males in Acts chapter 2 verse 4?
No,
because if you read Acts chapter 1, you will see that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. And we had the record of some women who were as well in the upper room, tarrying for the day of Pentecost. So Joel says, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour. So who is the one talking here? Joel. Who is going to do the work? The Spirit of God, that's God himself. Right? So God is saying, a time will come, your sons, your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servant and upon the handmaid in those days, will I what? Pour out my spirit. So is the gifts of the spirit given to sons, daughters,
yes,
old men,
yeah,
young men,
yeah,
servants?
Yeah.
Do you understand? So it covers no matter your economical statistics or what do you call
status,
that's the word, right? No, regardless of what that is, you are part, as long as you are a part of God's family, you can do the things of the Spirit. Are we together? Are we here?
Yes.
Are we here?
Yes.
Right? So if you go to verse, look at 30, and I will show wonders in the heavens and the earth, you know, and the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. We'll look at this some other time, yeah? Before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall what? Are we here? Guess it. Yeah, I want to believe that those in their other cells, they're following and they read it. Yeah, so whosoever shall what? Call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Yeah, who again taught from Joel 3, verse 32? Joel 2, 32.
Paul.
In where?
Romans
10. Are you with me? Right? So you see that the apostles were students of the prophets. Okay? So he says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For what? For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord had said, and in the remnants whom the Lord shall call. You know, the book of Zechariah that says, upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and the people shall what? possess their
possession.
Okay. Yeah. So that's similar to what Joel is teaching here. Right? So in Zion, there is deliverance. In Zion, so I've thought about it. Before we got to the conclusion of in Zion, there's deliverance, we saw tongues, we saw prophecy for children, male, female, young, old, servant. Then we also saw that there will be a restoration of the year that the locust has what? Eaten. Is that added to? So could Dora be talking about your financial status? Then now switch to believers meeting or believers. No. So it means you would have to read the restoration of the years the locust has eaten. Yeah, so what Joel was not teaching was that, your mates left for university. Yeah, for instance, me, when I was in primary school, I think I had a lot of my mates who were jumping classes. In fact, I had some of my mates who jumped from primary 5 to secondary school, right? Then I had some of my mates who jumped from primary 4 to primary 6. So I did primary 1 to primary, I did every class. Together, I did primary 1 to primary 6, you know, and some people were from 5. So a lot of them left ahead. Now, the truth is that in life will always change the direction of people. So imagine now, maybe I saw one of my friends, and maybe one of my friends left me that year. And let's say the person was asking me to help him with £100. And I say, see this God, the restoration he does, it beats my imagination. He says, I will restore the years the cacao. What is the year the cacao was eating? Probably 6. That's problem. Are we together? Yeah, so you must understand the context of the Bible within the narrative of what is being spoken about. So you cannot end in a conclusion with, look, if you look very well, you would have started from where we started in verse 23, be glad ye children of Zion. It now ends in verse 32 with, there shall be deliverance in Mount Zion. Are we together? Yeah, Hebrews will now go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 12, verse 22. Don't worry, we'll start closing the scriptures one by one. Yeah. Look at Hebrews 12, verse what? 22. Let's read together. Hebrews 12, 22. Let me give you a few seconds to get there. Hebrews 12, verse 22. Praise God forevermore. Hebrews 12, verse 22. What does it say? But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God. Is that the same Mount Zion where there shall be deliverance?
Yes.
Is that the same Mount Zion where people, both young, old, will speak, will prophesy?
Yes.
Yeah? So in Mount Zion, there is deliverance. So the people in Mount Zion are delivered people. Are we together? The people in Mount Zion are the, that's what is it Zechariah we said, or what is Zechariah Zephaniah? I always mix it up. Yeah. Yeah, so it's one of the Zachs, right? So in ye are come. So who are those that have come to Mount Zion? Is that you and I?
Yes, sir.
We have come to Mount Zion, right? So what is expected for us in Mount Zion? There is something called pouring out of the Spirit of God upon all flesh. So will all flesh be those flesh in Zion?
Yes.
Yes. All together. So all flesh will be those people in Zion, right? He says, unto the city. So what is another name for Mount Zion? City of a living God. All together. So we've come into a city. What is another name for city of a living God? Heavenly Jerusalem. All together. Heavenly Jerusalem. So was there a bias towards Jerusalem in the Bible?
Yes.
You cannot read the Bible and not get to that conclusion. But was the emphasis on Jerusalem as a city in this world?
No.
No. So it means that God will pick a people to represent his people. Are we together? God will pick a people. God will pick a community of people that will obey his status, obey his cause, obey his will, believe in his work, right? And use that to represent. That's why when Hebrews will tell you, he says, you've come to the heavenly, right? So this Jerusalem we're talking about has no physical location on the earth. It's a spiritual, supernatural one. Are we together? So are we from Jerusalem?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I know. Because I know where I'm from.
Yeah.
Are we together? Right? So we are from Jerusalem, but we are not from Jerusalem. The Jerusalem we are from is the Jerusalem that is the heavenly Jerusalem. And that heavenly Jerusalem is a city, right? So that city of Jerusalem in the Bible will be used to teach about a city of God's people. And that city of God's people will not be a place but all the earth. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Praise God. Right? So it's God's will that his kingdom dominate. That's why it says, as the waters covers the sea. It is God's desire that all flesh come into his city. So it means that you can live your life in Edinburgh, live your life in Scotland, never leave Scotland all your life, yet you are in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Are we together? Yet you are in Jerusalem. Right? So because we're in the city of God. You know, the book of Psalm 46, you say, for God is the midst of her, she shall not be moved. Right? Yeah? For God is the midst of her, she shall not be moved. Look at Psalm 46, verse 5. Too many scriptures open today. It almost looks like it's because when no but third other scriptures are not open. Psalm 46, verse 4. Psalms 46, verse 4. Praise God forevermore.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. You see, why am I paying attention to these teachings? Is because there are people who have met over the years and people's story who have read over the years that do not operate in the things of the Spirit. And when I engage them, it's knowledge that is missing. Then the gap is the knowledge. The gap is the understanding. Are we together? Look at Psalm 46. Are you in Psalm 46? Psalm 46, verse 4. Are you there? Can we together? 1, 2, 3, go. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. So we've agreed. What is the city of God?
Heavenly.
What's another name for city of God? Mount Zion. Is that correct? So what can we read in Psalm 46, verse 4? There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad Mount Zion. Is that it? Yeah, the holy place of the tabernacle of the what? Most High. God is in the midst of her. Is that a girl?
No.
Is that a woman?
No.
No. Is that a female? No. So her is used to represent young men. Are we together? Old men, sons and daughters, all flesh in Christ. That is the church. Are we together? So God is in the midst of her. Is a personification. Yeah, from the part of the world where I come from, we have our pledge. I pledge to Nigeria, my country, to be faithful, loyal, and honest. The moment we said Nigeria in the first line, we stopped saying Nigeria continuously. We said to serve. I pledge to Nigeria, my country, to defend. There's a new one, right? So I pledge Nigeria, my country. We mention Nigeria. To be faithful, loyal, and honest. To serve Nigeria. This is not by force. Okay? To serve Nigeria with all my strength. To defend her unity. And uphold her honor and glory. What is her then? Is he a girl? No. Her is personification. You used to speak about Nigeria. So God is in the midst of her. Who is the her then? The city of God, that is Mount Zion, heavenly Jerusalem, that is the church. Yeah? And the church is made up of who? Young men, old men, sons, daughters, husbands. Headsmen, but what do you call it? Manservants. Get it? Yeah? So go back to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. So for ye have come unto Mount Zion, right? So God is in the midst of his church. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You see, that's why it should make sense to you. When Paul now says, when we come together, we all have. Why? Because our coming together is not to meet with God. Our coming together is to bring the God that we have to a location. Are we together? We bring the God we have on our inside to a location. Right? So he says, when you come, he hath a psalm. Yeah? It's not when you get to the place that you collect the psalm. It is you come into the place with the psalm. You come into the place with the tongue, with the interpretation, with the revelation, right? Because God is in the midst of her. Yeah, God is not like God is in the midst of the living room where we are meeting today. It is God is in the midst of her. Remember, the her is a city of God that is all over the earth. Are we together? So we are bits and portions from the city, bits and portions from the Mount Zion, from the heavenly Jerusalem. Are we together? So he says, to the general assembly that is the church, that's verse 23, Hebrews 12, 23, right? The general assembly that is the church of the firstborn. The church of the firstborn. Are we together? Yeah? So, can we say the church of the firstborn into bracket? Young men,
yeah.
Old men, men servants, sons and daughters. Yeah? So, let's start closing up the scriptures we have. So, close Numbers now. Close Joel. Go to Acts 2. Close Numbers, close Joel, close Hebrews. Go to Acts 2. Praise God forevermore. Glory, glory, glory to God forever. So I took you to Joel and explained Joel using Numbers and explained Numbers using Hebrews. But what we're really explaining is Acts 2. Okay? So look at Acts 2. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet. What did the prophet say? What did the prophet say? And it shall come to pass in the last days. Now, mind you, what was Joel talking about? The outpouring of the Spirit. When? In the last day. In the last day. Okay? What did Joel not have in his mind? I hope you know that Joel did not have in his mind the rapture or the days where people will start disappearing when they are sowing. Are we together? Are we together? You know, I've said it over time, and we're going to look at it in the coming days. You see, when the Bible teaches about two people shall be in the field, and one shall what? Leave. One shall go, and the other shall remain. You know, what we grew up learning in that doctrine, in that teaching, is as though the one that goes is the one that is raptured.
Yeah.
Is the one that is saved. But if we read through Matthew's Gospel 24, 26 properly, you will find out that the one that goes is the one that is captured.
Yeah.
That is why the instruction for those that remain is run, so that they don't catch you. Altogether. But you see how the mind of man works. Any day I just come to church like this and pastor just disappeared. I know pastor is very holy. I know pastor has gone. I need to start asking. I said, you know, imagine if that's how God decides to do rapture. You know, from now it means that every time you want to fly a plane, ensure you pray your pilot is an unbeliever. Did you get what I just said? Ensure that you pray that your pilot is an unbeliever. Imagine the rapture does happen when pilot is just 30,000 below above sea level. Pilot has gone. So everybody in the plane just say, pilot has gone, pilot has gone. Co-pilot to a believer. Are we together? Then now say, which of the air hostesses can fly the... But then some of you say, no, if pilot goes, I will go.
Yeah.
But you will go. One of those who are now unbelievers.
Judgment.
That's your judgment. Imagine. Let them know you're outside. All together. Right? So we think that the Bible doesn't teach about a disappearing. Are we together? You won't get to a conclusion of people disappearing. We'll not just say that a lot of people, no. And maybe I was holding my iPad. I just disappear. My iPad will just drop and me, I'll just go. That's not what the Bible teaches. But we're not going to look at that at least for the next few years. Right? Look at Acts 2. So it says, and it shall come to pass in the last days. So what is last days going to be? Last days will be the day of his resurrection. How did Sam call it? He says, in the day of thy power, thy people shall be willing. I'm going fast on my shadow. Okay, yeah. So the last days there will speak, day of his glory, rather. Yeah. The last day there will speak about the day of his resurrection. So are we in that day now?
Yes,
sir. Yeah. Are we together? How do you know? Hold on. You know, Peter explains last days, but it's just that we're not patient enough. Go to verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be
saved.
For in Mount Zion there is salvation. Where did we read that from? Joel 2. Joel 2, 32. Remember now? Yeah? So if you look at verse 22, who is still talking? Peter. Peter now says, ye men of Israel. Peter says, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourself also know. Him being delivered by the what? Determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. So that Jesus was captured, did he shock God?
Yeah.
No. Yeah? It was already a knowledge that was in place from time. That's why you say foreknowledge. Right? Ye have taken, and by wicked hands ye have what? Crucified and slain. So who crucified Jesus? God or man?
Man.
What did God do with the crucifixion of Jesus? Verse 24. Whom God raised up. God raised up, having lost the pains of death, because it is not possible that he should be held of it. Now look at what David says in verse 24, 5. For David. So Peter was teaching a congregation of people that were in dismay or doubt about the things of the Spirit. Where did Peter first take them to?
Joel.
Is that scriptures?
Yes.
Where is Peter taking them to now?
The Psalm.
How do you know his Psalm? Look at it again. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before me. That's Psalm 16. Yeah. Are we together? Yes. Right? For he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall what?
Yes.
Rest in hope. Because thou will not what? leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thy holy one to see corruption. This has made known to me, the what?
Ways of life.
Thou shalt make me full of joy at thy countenance. Are we together? Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you regarding the what?
Patriarch
David. For he is both dead and buried. And his sepulcher is with us until this day. Look at verse 30. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Therefore, being... Who is Peter talking about?
David.
Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his blood, according to the flesh, he would what? Raise Christ to sit on the throne. Verse 31 together, 1, 2, 3, go. He seen this before. Is that David foreseen?
Yes.
Okay, so he, as a who?
Prophet.
Beautiful. Spoke of the resurrection of Christ. So what David spoke about was around the resurrection of Christ. Are we together? So the resurrection of Christ, when it happens, are we going to now be in a day?
Yeah.
Are we together? You know, the Bible says this is the day the Lord has made. We rejoice and we are glad in it. Right? The stone which the builder rejected has become the what?
Chief
cornerstone. Who is the stone the builder rejected?
Jesus.
Christ Jesus, not you, not me, right? So Jesus is the chief cornerstone who the builder rejected, becoming the chief cornerstone, or the cornerstone, the stone the builder rejected, becoming the chief cornerstone. And now says, this is the day. What is the day? The day of the resurrection. So when Joel says in the last days, did the last days begin from day of Pentecost?
No.
Did the last days begin from after the resurrection? The day of the resurrection. Are we together? So the last days began from the day of the resurrection. That means from that day till today, we're in the last days.
Yes, sir.
Are we together? So we don't look at last days because boys, I want you to dress like girls. Amen?
Amen.
We don't look at last days because people are wicked. Wickedness is growing in the land. No. We don't look at last days because the economy is meltdown. No. We look at last days as believers from the perspective of the resurrection. Okay? So look at what, go back to verse 14, verse 15, verse 17, where we are. Go back to verse 17. Are we together? And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out of my spirit upon what? All flesh. And your sons, is that Joel 2? Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. So is it all flesh that will prophesy?
Yes.
You know, all I've been explaining in the last 1 hour is 1 Corinthians 12. Are we here? What am I explaining? 4 to 1. Hope you didn't miss that point. I'm explaining 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8. When it says 4 to 1 is given by the Spirit, word of knowledge. Remember that? Yeah? So look at verse 17 again. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servant and on my handmaid, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall... Are we here? They shall what? They shall prophesy. Verse 18. They shall prophesy. So it's prophesying and being a prophet. What did Moses say? I woe to God that all men be prophets. Are we together? Now, in our previous teaching, we've taught that what Joel meant by prophecy would also include tongues. Because, but if we say it is tongues and there is no interpretation, we can't call it prophecy. So it means that Peter should have used another, if it's only tongues that happen in Acts 2, Peter should have used another scripture to teach about what was happening. But Peter went to the one that says prophesy. Okay, go back to 1 Corinthians 12. I hope you're learning something today. That's where we are. So let's start where we are going to today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 8. So, 4. To one is what?
Given
by the Spirit. We said the word there to one. I think it's to one. Right? That's the same word that seems with the word men in Ephesians 4. Right? So it says, to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Through another, the word of knowledge. Now, also we said the word another there does not pay an emphasis or attention on the people. Are we together? But on the spirit and the gifts that is given by the spirit. So, we went through all those scriptures just to show you that the moment we say that for to one, right, is for one believer, and to another is for another believer, then it means we must get to the point where we now see tongues in verse 10. And we must agree that tongues is for some believers.
Mm-hmm.
But Mark 16 says what? They shall what? They shall all speak with tongues. Right? So, how many believers have the ability to speak in tongues?
All.
How many believers have the ability to of healing,
all.
Working of miracles?
All.
So, do you agree now that it is not the Spirit that is choosing? You know, Spirit of God just says, oh, I see that you have a very big eyes. Right? I feel like you will see well. Let me give you a gift of word of knowledge. Right? I see that your lips are very big. And people even call you Philip. Right? And I think you will need a lot of utterances. Let me give you prophecy. So you will just talk and interpret. Right? Then I said, no, that's not what is happening. Every believer, right, can operate in. Every believer. That's why when Paul says it, he says, when we come together, every one of you has a. Every one of you has something. You have something that you can give through the gifts of the Spirit. Are we together? Are we here?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so how many gifts of Spirit have we acknowledged from 1 Corinthians 12?
Nine.
Let's list them together. 1, 2, 3, go.
Word of wisdom,
one. Word of knowledge, two. Faith, three. Gift of healing, four. Miracles, five.
Prophecy,
six. Seven. Eight. Now look at verse 11. It says, but all these worketh that one and the self same spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. Now, who is the he will then? Now, we said the Greek word there, he will, there is the word volemai, right? And that word actually speaks about the willingness of a man, not the willingness of the spirit. Altogether, the willingness of a man, not the willingness of the spirit. The willingness of a man, not the willingness of the spirit. Right, so it's very important for you to understand that fact. Right, he's speaking about the willingness of a man, not the willingness of the spirit. So, who needs to be willing in verse 11 to operate?
Man.
Are we together? You just need to be. So, who needs to be willing to speak in tongues? The believer now. You get it? So, we cannot say the believer needs to be willing to speak in tongues, but it's not the believer that needs to be willing to see word of knowledge or to have a word of knowledge. Because tongues, word of knowledge, and others, they are all parts of the gifts. And the willingness of the believer. Yeah, that's why if you're not careful, you'll get a conclusion that says that it is the spirit that chooses who he gives the gift to. Do you understand? It says as he wills. Some people get a conclusion that as he wills there means the spirit is willing. That means, look at it carefully. If a man comes to you, a disciple comes to you and doesn't speak in tongues, right? And we conclude that it is the willingness of the believer that will determine if you will speak in the willingness of the spirit, that will determine if you will speak in tongues or not. Why are we now praying? All right, together. So it means no matter how much you pray for this person to speak in tongues, for instance, right? No matter how much you pray, if the spirit is not willing, the spirit is not willing. You get the point? Right? So that's why when we tell people, or when we're trying to get people filled in the spirit of God, what we are teaching them is to work on their willingness. Their willingness. That's the most important. Are we together? You can have a father that has £1 million for you in the bank account, but if you're not willing to go to the bank, you will not partake of. Are we together? Yeah? So we cannot now be saying the Spirit of God that is deposited in the bank is the one that needs to be willing for the money to get to us. I'll say that again. Yeah, your father puts money, £1 million in the bank for you, right? Let's say that as an example of deposit of the spirit for you. Are we together? Yeah, and if you are not willing to take yourself, jump on the bus, take the train, take the tram, to go to the bank to get that money, you will not partake of that money. The difference between what I just explained is that bank is in a different place, but the bank of the spirit is where?
Mm-hmm.
On your inside. So you need to be. So where does the willingness come from? On the same inside. Are we together? So the willingness is from the inside. The deposit of the spirit is on the inside. You are the one that would need to be willing. So your willingness is very important. In fact, I would say your willingness is one of the most important after receiving. All together. So that's why a lot of times you come for believers' meetings, people use their willingness to talk themselves out of the deposits. All together. They use their willingness. Let me give you an example. I'll say them and like you right here. Yeah? They talk themselves out of the willingness. Or they use their willingness to talk themselves out of receiving or away from receiving the deposits. So the willingness of man is important. Yeah. So if your father put £1 million in Barclays on Princess Street, for instance, right, you would have to be willing to shower. You have to be willing to dress up. You have to be willing to go out. You have to be willing to check for the bus. You have to be willing to check for the train. You have to be willing to check for the tram. But you know that you can decide to say, I won't do that today. I'll do that tomorrow. You see that? I won't do that tomorrow. I'll do that today. I'm very tired. I'll do that next week. Oh, next month. Oh, yeah. Oh. Right? So you can, rather than use your energy and your willingness to act from the deposit of the riches, we use our willingness to act our consciousness or take our minds away from the deposit that we have. So Paul will say in 1 Corinthians 2, he says that, but now you have received. Now you've received. Now I have received. I have received. Right? So it's very, very important for us to pay attention, right, to what is being said, right, or what is being taught. You have to be willing. So it is your willingness that will ensure that. Say something about the Spirit. You have a choice to say, Pastor, I don't know what to say. See, you cannot make that statement without your willingness. Is anybody here that talks without them knowing what they are saying? Even if you are sleep talking. Yeah? Even if they are sleep talking. I've never heard of a story of someone who is sleep talking and all the words they are speaking are words that they've never heard before. So there will be words that would have registered in your subconscious from your movies, your daily activities and all the likes. Like Ecclesiastes, we see a man's dream usually is as a result of multitude of activities during the day. Right? So it's very important for you to actually know that you don't use your willingness to talk yourself out of the things of the Spirit. So let's say believe. So we are going to look at the scriptures that talk about blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, which we've explained already. We'll look at it again in details, right? You say, Pastor, I don't know what to say. That's why you see now believers, for instance, for one of us we had maybe last week or 2 weeks ago, right? We asked Brian to minister, right? And what happened? He kept us with the next second. I said, the brother in front of him, minister, and the name he mentioned, the brother behind him who had kept us for 2 minutes. What is the difference between the brother at the back and the brother at the front? They use their willingness differently. One uses their willingness to say, I don't know what to say. The other one uses willingness to say, this is the name I saw. Then when the brother in front said, that's the details I saw, this is what I saw. Then the one behind now said, that's the name I wanted to say. Are we together? So you don't use your willingness to talk yourself out of it. Yeah? So if you are asked, for instance, they're put on the spot in church, and the pastor says, you minister to us by word of knowledge. I can tell you for free, you don't need 5 more seconds to say something. Although, you can use 20 seconds to talk yourself out of what you would have said in 5 seconds. Some of you that notice the believers, when I move around, I look straight into somebody and I say, there's something you're supposed to have said 10 minutes ago. And you realize that you see people struggling to say the things that God has said or has asked them to say for 10 minutes. That's enough willpower. Are we together? Use enough willpower. And like we said, why do we get these details and information and give people direction? It's just to show that God is intentional about your life. Are we together? It's just to show that God, you know, so when you call some details, for instance, give people details about their life and about their future, it's just to show to you that God is deliberate about you. Are we together? It's just, sometimes, a lot of times, it's confirmation to people. A lot of times, it's something somebody has said again to you is being repeated. Yeah, so that's why when I minister, right, I'm a very, very socially social person, right? So I know people in thousands, right? Yeah, I know people in thousands, very large number. But the truth is that when I minister and certain names come to my heart and I want to minister by the Spirit, right, I don't begin to explain myself that, this name that I'm hearing in the Spirit is somebody I know. I go together. Yeah, I just say, it's somebody I know. It's not possible that it's just that person I'm talking about. Eventually, it might be the person I know. But I don't stop myself from seeing the possibilities that it could have been any other person. Altogether, they say, what is your brother's name? What is your sister's name? Who is bearing this name? Who has these details? Who does this? Who does that? Yeah, it is because the Spirit has given us the ability, right? And I told you before, your reason for ministering is never to show up or show off. Yeah, never see your. It's because you think you want to show off. That is why you think you don't want to be wrong. Because there's an ego you are trying to protect. Are we together? There's an ego. Look at John 4. Look at John 4. Before I go to John 4, look at John 1. This is an example. This example, tire. What tire is a Greek word for surplus. Yeah, look at John. Look at John chapter 1. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. John chapter 1, look at verse 43. Verse 44. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Now Philip finds Nathanael and says unto him, we have found him of whom what? Moses in the law and the prophets did what? Write about Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Now, and Nathanael said unto him, guess, listen to what is happening. Listen to what is happening. Nathanael said unto him, who is the him? Philip now. Who are people talking? Philip and Nathanael. Nathanael first said to Philip, we have seen him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write about Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Look at verse 46. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of where?
Nazareth.
And Philip said unto him, come and see. Now look at verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, behold an Israelite indeed in whom is no... What is that? That's a word of knowledge. Are we together? Look at it again. He says, behold, how will you know it's a word of knowledge? Look at the next verse. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? That's a word of knowledge. What am I showing you here? So it means people can... I've been in scenarios where I step into a place, and before I step into the place, I saw a conversation people were having about me. But the thing I did not do is to do what Jesus did. Have it together. See, that's where discernment comes. You know, you can know when somebody is lying to you. I just keep a straight face. I just enjoy the lie. Like my wife will ask me, how do you stay with a straight where you know clearly someone is lying? You've left that one behind. It's not to embarrass people. All together. You know, you can be so detailed and say, both of you were talking about Sister Esther and Sister Stephanie. I can tell you on Thursday, I said, you wore a blue shirt. Altogether. Yeah, but you know in this examination, you will still deny it. Mm-hmm. That's why that Peter scenario.
Yeah.
Ananias and Sapphira. That's why I don't say anything. Altogether. But there's a lot of examples to learn from there. Yeah. Wait, how do you know? How did Peter know that they did not sell that land for that amount? This word of knowledge now. Do you understand? Pastor Peter is standing. They came and they said, Pastor is like, what do you think? Me that I just finished the Pentecost. Do you know I have 3,000 souls in my repository? You come and lie to me. Oh yeah, out. The woman came. I said, how did Peter know? Word of knowledge. You know you can know things. Trust me, you can know things. You can know things. You know, in church one day, when I spoke to two sisters, that was probably last year, and I just spoke about what they spoke about the night before. Funny thing is, I didn't know where one of them lived. I think it was a phone call in fact. So sometimes you would do some details and people would think you were in their living room. Are we together? You see, seeing in the spirit is an advantage for the believer. Not for you to go and be prognosing. You know? I feel like Brasidia is always talking about me. Let me venture into his room by the spirit. And you now by the spirit disappear, I just say, I leave. And you now enter Brasidia's room. You now put a screen. Let's start watching. See? Have you not seen movies where you see people watching other people by looking at a water,
yeah.
A bowl? Sorry, someone should help me change this charging point and just plug the one on top for one of them. I think one of the batteries is low, so that it's full. Perfect. I think the charging port is just on top. Perfect. Alright. Yeah, so have you not seen movies where you see somebody, they say they wash their eye with the... let me not tell you now, I'm looking for dog. They say they use the dog urine and wash your eye. And it starts to say, what they are trying to communicate is that people can see things. You understand? That's what they're trying to communicate. So you can be in situations where you just see people somebody just comes and just lies to you. And just like, brother, why are you lying? Sister, stop lying. Yeah, don't go to Peter's level. Don't let somebody be learning lesson from lying by dying. Yeah. So what did Jesus do? Jesus saw Nathanael coming. That's word of knowledge. And he said of him, behold an Israelite indeed, in whom, that means Jesus spoke about his state of origin. Do you understand? And his character. So if a pastor speaks a pastor, so once we know they are fakes, it is not impossible for a pastor to know states of origin. Just says, behold an Israelite indeed. Behold someone who comes from the southern, northern part of what? Ethiopia. Can you be that accurate? Whence thou knowest me? He says, how do you know me? Do you remember what Paul taught in 1 Corinthians 14? He says that when a non-believer comes into the room, he bows down and says of a truth, God is in you. That means you can give demonstration of the spirit and people will be like, where do you know me from? And that's why sometimes, when you mention it to the spirit, you will see things that nobody could have known from knowledge. Nobody could have known from knowledge. Let me use our sister Sharon for instance. This is your second time in God's Palace. Welcome to church. Yeah. Do you remember the first day she came to church? I'd never set my eyes on her. We'd never seen her. And we spoke about her mother. Have you posted about your mother anywhere online? Do you understand? Like, if it's that she has posted her mother somewhere and said, everybody pray for me, the whole nation pray for me, maybe you can say there's possibility I saw it. But I'm saying that is only an information in their family. Do you understand? Those are only details in their family that you can never know anywhere. That's why I always tell you, when you see the manifestation of the spirit, don't always think of fake first. If you think fake first, it means your mind is already poisoned. The media space has worked on you and they've warned you. Somebody stands up from the wheelchair. The first thing you're thinking about is, they went to put the person on the wheelchair. The leg was walking before. And they push him. The devil has worked on your mind. And I always tell you, the devil plays a long game. May it not be the day you really need your leg to function by the supernatural. Doctor says, there is nothing we can do medically about this again. I've not seen people, a man called Brother Kenneth Hagin, right? Kenneth Hagin Sr. At age 18, 19, he was on the hospital bed and he said he was ripe for death. And what happened? There's a word he got from school, Mark something, Mark 11, 24. 23, 24, right? Mark 11, right? And he said it. And what happened? He lived from age 18 and he didn't die till 86. People that they said he was going to die at age 18, that there's no life, he cannot live beyond the next 1 year. And somebody is still saying, if he's really, 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 really healed, why did he eventually die? somebody lived 60 years more. You understand? So when you begin to see people talk like that, it's because their mind has been worked on by the devil subconsciously. That's why I tell you, don't watch jokes about it against the spirit. Don't watch any joke against the pastor. It's not necessary. The devil is playing a long game. Don't join the bad brothers of people. This is one of the first times I'm even going to say this, right? But interesting, maybe I would have said it in passing. One of the things I like about we as a church, God's Palace, is I've never had a we'll still get to the point where we have to concern, to get myself concerned. But at least for the few days that we pastor, nobody has given me stress on social media posts. What I mean is, one pastor is trending, they will do, what do you call it, a piso. Why? The truth is that, who is it, who gets more discouraged? It's the believer. Before you know, you start second guessing. You know that the devil can work so much with you with the media space, so that you second guess yourself. You know, say, ah, could it mean that the reason I need that person's little guy, I saw it somewhere? Why? Because you've gone to watch meetings where, you know, they've announced that, you know, and when you go to the church, you'll first collect the details, then they'll give the pastor. Pastor will start calling one by one, and I say, yeah, I've seen a video where the pastor say, ah, yes, you spoke to me before. The pastor will say, have I met you before? You say, yes, I met you before the service. That's what you fed your mind with. So you two, you're not going to be blessed with him. You say, and I see the name James, right? And you're like, could it be that it was just something? You now give the second details. Now that is the vault of your mind. You know, you can go so detailed on narrative so that you go into intricate conversations. Remember, I was giving an example of a lady who came to church for the first time last year. Oh, that's a friend, right? As she came to church, I would spend 15 minutes on her alone. What? That was the first time I ever did that. I'm not driving for a long time. Yeah. What was I doing using that to show us at the church? The way you can be that definite. Yeah. Let's assume I knew all those details. I copied it from somewhere. At least give me credit that I'm smart enough to remember all. Do you understand? At least give me the credit that I say I'm smart enough to remember all. I saw it once and I captured Do you understand? But if you begin to say, because the lady, that was the first time ever in Gospel Palace, right? And she was like, how can you know my sister, know my brother's name, my sister's name, how many sisters I have, how many brothers know, the date of birth of my mother, date of birth, where did I see her passport? You can be that definite. So Peter will say, Jesus will say, behold an Israelite indeed. Nathaniel will say, where does this one know me from? Look at what Jesus said unto him. Before that Philip called thee, are you listening? Before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee. But then I said, and I said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Is that similar to bind down of the truth? Yeah, God. Yeah. And Jesus answered and said unto him, fig tree. Now, I just said unto him, verily, verse 51, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels. Is that word of God? Look at it again. And I say unto you, verily I say unto you, hereafter. What is hereafter? In the future. Is that word of knowledge? Word of wisdom. What is word of knowledge? Simplest way to say word of knowledge. Events from the present into the past. Right? Events from the present into the past. Word of wisdom will be events from the immediate present into the future. So I see that you come from a state. And that state is in Israel, word of knowledge. Tomorrow you will have a vision, word of wisdom. Yeah? Present into the future for word of what? Wisdom. Word of knowledge is what? Present into the past. Right? It says hereafter, what happens? Ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God. So it means that you can talk about the vision somebody will have. All together. You can talk about activities. Have you not found yourselves in several points as believers where you see things happen before they happen? I'd be like, if the first thing that comes to your mind is deja vu, they've walked on your mind too. I used to experience deja vu. I just see. Sometimes it happens to me a lot of times, you know. I'll be like, So when it started happening to me years ago, I used to get scared. I'll be like, Why is life playing out to me twice? Who could it have meant, rather? But over the years, and I realized that's the leading of the spirit now. Those are the gifts of the spirit in operation. So now when it happens to me, there are times. Do you remember what happened on Sunday? On Sunday, I ministered to somebody called Suleiman. Do you remember when I mentioned that name? Do you know that before that lady stood up to leave, I saw her leaving. Remember, you saw it on Sunday, right?
Yeah.
When I was asking you all to, you know, minister and all of that, I saw her stand up and leave. Right? But the different thing I would do now, if it was before me years ago, I'd be like, why did I see that? And I now see something different. But that was Sunday. As soon as I saw it play out, I saw she stood up, paused, went. What did I just say? Who are you to do with the man? And she was already at the door. It's me. I say, yeah. So it wasn't a shock to me. I had seen it ahead. Just like Jesus. Thou art an Israelite in whom there's no guy. Yeah. So when you see a prophet say, in your family, you do your best to make everybody happy, but they don't just like you. Can someone see that? Yes, now. Is that not, is it not talking about somebody's character? Yes, now. Look at John 4. Look at John 4. Yeah. So you can, by the Spirit, know. You know, and that's why I see sometimes in a believer's meeting, when we're having a believer's meeting, some people will look at other people and say, Sister Esther, this one is for you. Do you understand? You can be that definite and sure. Yeah, I remember hearing the testimony of Pastor Olenka, for instance, a couple of years ago. You know, he said he shared it recently, but it happened to him years ago, where he went to minister somewhere and he saw a brother he was to minister to wearing an exact color of clothes, exact. And the Spirit of God had told him that he was going to leave that service. And he saw everything act out. But God had asked him to say something to him. So that's why you see there's some actions that happen. Now, can you see something and that thing will not happen as you saw it? Yes, yes, yes. I told you something on Sunday. When you see a plane crashing, when you see a plane crashing, what did I say? Plane crashing. When you see a plane crashing in the spirit, and you want somebody and say, don't board that flight. Don't, because the plane did not crash, now say, you see what happened? No! I didn't say that though. That's a funny video I just saw. Yeah? Don't be looking for. A few weeks ago, I warned us in church about fire. You were in church, right? I said, be careful of your stove, be careful of fire around you, right? And I pointed to a particular sister that needs to be careful more. Now, it will be wrong for us as a church to not be looking. Did the fire catch? She said, I just to show, did the fire catch? Let's know how God delivered you. There are things God will preserve you from. You will not know what would have happened. You are driving and the Spirit of God says, don't take this road, take that on. And it might make your journey longer home. Don't go and carry your car and go and buy fuel and go back to that junction and be looking, the accident happened. Or you put on radio to say, what? No. There are things that can be. So you can see in the spirit, somebody leave a church meeting. And in the physical, the person will not leave. And you can see in the spirit, somebody will stay. Why? Because man has will. Are we together? Man has the ability to do and undo. Right? So if you look at this woman now, look at this woman in first in John 4. Now look at John 4, 13. No, let's start. Let's start from where they started from. Where can I go to? Seven. They come to the woman. Beautiful. Let's use 7 to start. They come to the woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to what? Buy meat. That means they went to buy food. Mm-hmm. Okay? Right? Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask her to drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? Altogether, that's Jewish and Gentile war. Mm-hmm. Altogether. For the Jew have no dealing with the Samaritans. Now, Jesus answered and said unto her, right? If thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou the living water? He now says in verse 12, had thou greater than our father Jacob, who is talking to the woman, right?
Yeah.
Which gave us the well. And drank thereof. That means the well she was fetching from was the well that Jacob as well drank from.
Mm.
He says, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle. He says in verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall what? Thirst again. But whosoever what?
Drinketh of the water that I shall give him
shall never thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him shall be in him a well of what? Water springing up into everlasting life. The man now said unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. That means, give me this water. That is man for you. If you supernaturally provide the needs of man, they want, they will come and look for that same need they too. That's what that makes believers think they can do their life on auto cruise miracle. And they don't walk. You have a supernatural meal today. You know now, you have an opportunity to walk tomorrow. You say, no, God meet my needs. And God can meet your needs through your walk. Are we together? Right? So, you know, it happened to Jesus. Jesus fed 3,000, is it 3,000 or 5,000? The 5,000 people. What happened? Day two, Bible records that they all came together. They're looking at his hand, waiting for him to say, bring the bread, bring the bread, bring the bread, bring the bread. Maybe they would have used the main 12 basket that remained to multiply for that day. What happened? Just as I say, come with me quickly to the book of Genesis chapter 12. Third person went. Go to Exodus chapter 3. The second person went. Go to Philippians. Third person went. Before you know it, everybody started disappearing to go and look for real food. Yeah? So this woman is saying, give me water so that I will stop coming to this. That means her problem was that she was stressed by coming to fetch water. And she was looking for something that will stop it. Imagine what she's thinking. Water is in your stomach. Every time they are testing you, like ruminant animal, you first pour it inside your cup, then drink it. Now, that says, the woman said unto him, Sir, give me water to drink, I test not. Jesus said, now, look, pay attention to where I'm going to. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Jesus said unto her, go call your husband and come hither. Go call your husband and come hither. What did the woman say? I have no husband. Is that a fact?
Yes.
Was that a fact?
Yes.
Okay. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said that you have no husband. What did Jesus now say further? For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband. In that said, thou truly. What was happening? You come for a believer's meeting. You say, I say the name Elizabeth. Who has anything to do with the name Elizabeth? Everybody's quiet. You now get discouraged. That's the work of the devil. You now get discouraged. You see, when you minister by the Spirit, I'm trying to show you Jesus. Jesus. See, let's assume Jesus intentionally said, go and call your husband anew. Forget about what Jesus knew. I'm saying John wrote it for you to see. That Jesus gave a fact, the woman says it's not true. In our world today, what happens from there? You begin to second guess yourself. Why? Because you are thinking you are trying to impress. All together, right? There are other people around you say, sister said, just spoke with confidence. Nothing. She called the first name, nothing. Nobody's here. Nobody's there. Sister said, close your mouth. Then you will not start. I'm trying to show you that Jesus himself, he said, that's God in the flesh. So God. In the flesh. That means when you have inspirations by the Spirit, that you will say a fact and it seems to be wrong. Let me say one more time. When you have facts by the Spirit and you say it and it seems to be wrong to the hearings of man, does not mean it is wrong. That you state a fact by the Spirit, you state an event, you state a date, you state somebody's name, somebody's grandfather's name, it gives details by the Spirit. And it looks like nobody can relate with it. To the logical mind, it looks like nobody can understand or relate with it. Does not mean it is wrong. Very, very important for you to note that. Very, very important for you to note that. You know, that's why sometimes, you know, we did that 2 weeks ago. We had a sister in church. Remember, I'm going back to that example. We had a sister in church who usually is consistent in church. Are we together? But she missed church that day. Altogether. Very consistent, beautiful, lovely sister. Right? But for some reason, she missed church that day. You know what now happened? We asked a member in the church to mention a detail. Is that true? Right? And the first sister, Sister Marachi, who is here for instance, mentioned the month February by the Spirit. We wanted to know what it was about February. We asked Sister Steph to mention dates by the Spirit. As you said, the 6th of February. Right? Those are two believers by the Spirit giving two facts that are linked to themselves. All together. And we ask the question, who has anything to do with the number or with the date 6th of February? And someone mentioned in church, Sister Esther, she said, it looks like this lady said that she was the one that she has a trip within February. Let us confirm. What happened? we picked our phone and we called the sister who was in the house on her bed. Right? And we called her and said, but before we called her, what happened? I had mentioned by the spirit her local government. How would I have known that? It's not from information, no. I had mentioned by the spirit her government name. You know there's a difference between the name everybody calls you. Your name, some of you, your name can be Joshua. On Twitter, it's Josh124. On Instagram, it's 124Josh. Right? On your passport, there's a different name. You know, there's some names that on your birth certificate, they don't make it to your passport. you know, yeah. So imagine, and I'll mention the state of origin it comes from. So that state of origin we mentioned makes it clear that we're talking about the same person, February and 6th. Then wait for that, I mentioned the government name that nobody calls her. We said, who is Abigail? And we said that that's the same person, no? So we had four facts about the person. Listen to what I'm showing you today. Do you know that his sister Esther was not in that meeting? You get it?
Mm-hmm.
Sister Esther, who is neighbors with flatmate with Sister Ayobami, if she was not in that meeting, everybody in the church would have thought four of us missed it, or the four facts we gave were wrong. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully for, I'm trying to say, there will be days where we will not have a Sister Esther who knows Sister Ayobami. So what do we do on those meetings? We just say by the Spirit what we have to say and leave it. Are we together? If not Sister Esther being there, we now say Sister Esther, oh yeah, call this sister. Let's see what she's saying. Sister Esther, what are you doing on the 5th of February? Ah, Pastor, I booked my flight, I'm flying. She now gave us some details we didn't even she now gave us details that we never know were upcoming. She just put everything out, everybody heading the church. Sister, what do you have to do with this state? Ijero, I should have spelt it. You will see people's name. I remember there was a man I made statue at Waverly, right? He's Indian. I mentioned his mother's name. I can't remember that name now. But you know, Indians, when you see their name, it is a name. You understand? And when I mentioned it, I could just see, so sometimes you just want to spell it out. Then they'll be able to picture, okay, that's the word you are mentioning. I didn't know how to pronounce where she was from. I just spelled it and said, oh, there's a, who is Abigail? That's my name, sir. What do you have to do with Nigeria? That's where I'm from, sir. What is happening February 6th? I'm traveling. Aha. So, you see, if she wasn't in church, people would have said, like, Jesus, he missed it. They missed it. That church, I stopped going to that church, so they guess a lot. they just say things as they will. No. So, you will be in believers' meetings. You will say things. Nobody will relate. Continue. Sometimes, when you, I've not realized in church sometimes when we're ministering, you will say a fact about someone. Everybody will say, everybody keep quiet. I was in church ministry one day, I finished, I think it was last in Christ Day, or maybe 10 Christ Days ago. I finished ministering, I gave like 3-4 details about one particular person. Do you know, we finished teaching, it was after the meeting, the family came and met and said, Pastor, he's also our friend, he's traveling to UK. Imagine they forgot the name of the person that. That's what happens in meetings like that. You might not be able to picture everything together. You might not be able to put everything, but just say it. And that's why you, when you give those details, in addition to you say, let's continue praying, say something more. What happens is, so that when the person remembers, I'm the person they spoke about, they don't have to come back and meet you and say, what should I do? You've already given the information. They can just go ahead and do it. So don't get yourself in a place where you're trying to impress. You see, as we're going like this now, I must not miss it. How do you get better in getting clear? Is by the practice. You get better in getting clear by the practice. So you get better by anything you practice, you will get better at it, even if it's lying. Anything you practice, you will get better at it. Anything you give your consistency to, you will get better at it, even if it's stealing. You will get better at it. So keep practicing it. It's not a guesswork. You know by the Spirit. You heard audible names in your heart. You heard clear names. You saw scenarios. Just say it. Just say it. Don't say. Don't try to shield yourself. Say, nobody is here. That's why you see, when we minister in church, for instance, if I ministry, for instance, if I give a detail, nobody else has me. Sometimes I finish giving because I move on. So when I be leaving their hands behind, I just like, I don't see you. Yeah? If you come and meet me after church, different conversation. Right? That's why you need to be at alert. But you can't always blame it. You can't, even sometimes it happens to us. You know, somebody can mention the name of a sister and you forget on that moment. It's very possible now. Someone can mention your brother's name, you forget. It's not like you were not, you just that was where it's tensed. Right? But what I'm saying is, just ensure you stay there. Just ensure you Don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. It's not a guesswork. We know it's the Spirit of God. As long as you can affirm that God's Spirit is on your inside, that information is by the Spirit. Except you in your heart of hearts, you know that you saw somebody that looks like someone from South Africa. And you know in your mind that it is because you saw this person, you know how South African people look. Then you can know. Because you can judge yourself now. You know now. You can know. You can know. Yeah? Or somebody gives you a name. They say their name is Vimbai. Do you have anything to do with Zimbabwe? Nah. You already asked that Vim in church. He's from Zimbabwe now. Do you understand? So you need to ensure that you guard your heart. Don't get yourself. Now, let me just close here. Look at Jesus. He says, for thou hast had 5 husbands. 5 is not a guess number. You cannot guess somebody had 5 and be accurate with that number. It's not guesswork. He says, for thou hast had 5 husbands, and he who thou now hast in is not yours, your husband. In that sayest thou truly. Says the woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Look at verse 20. Our fathers worship in the mountain, and ye say that Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Yeah? So when you say Jerusalem, what is he talking about? Physical. But physical what? Temple. Yeah? Altogether. Temple. Yeah? That's what comes to mind. 21. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship. Is that a future thing?
Yes.
Is that a future conversation?
Yes.
So what's that?
Wisdom.
A word of wisdom, word of knowledge mixed together, a prophecy, something that will happen. And we're together. He says, ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jew. Salvation is of the Jew does not mean that it's only Jew that be saved. No, it is that the limit from which we see the execution of God's plan for salvation will be Jewish. Yeah? But look how it says in verse 23, but the hour cometh and now is. Could Jesus have said, for the last days is here?
Yeah.
Are we together? Yeah? Because the hour there, we speak about the last day, not 3 o'clock, not 4 o'clock. For the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that must worship him must what? Worship him in spirit. So Jesus will give words of knowledge, then give utterances of activities that will happen in the future. Is that your Bible? Look at Acts 10. Look at Acts 9:13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of men of this man how much evil he had done. Right? And what happened? How much he had done to send to Jerusalem, and here he had authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on their name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my sake. And Ananias went his way and entered, right, into the house, and putting his hand on him, said, Brother Saul. How did Ananias know about Brother Saul? What information would you call that? Word of knowledge through a vision. That means you can know facts about people through a vision. You can know facts about people when you are awake. I went together, right? So he knew what to do by a word of wisdom, by vision rather, right? So he goes there. Now look at what he says in verse 17, Acts 9:17. Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hand on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way that thou comest, has sent me. How did Ananias know that Paul had a vision and an encounter? Word of knowledge now. I was together. So he said, I saw that you have an experience when you were coming out, right? Yeah? And he says, and he has sent me that thou mayest receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately the tear fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight, forthwith, right? And arose and was what? Baptized. Yeah? The scale falling from his eyes, what's that? Would it be working on miracles or gifts of healing? Working on miracles. Yeah? That's a very dicey place to be. You know, working on miracles a lot of times is to initiate things that were not there.
Yeah.
Somebody had a limp that was cut short and the leg grows up. That's not gift of healing.
Yeah, that's...
That's working on miracles. Somebody's leg is still full, but there's pain. That's gift of healing. Do you understand? Somebody did not have a womb, but gave birth to a child. That's working on miracles. All together. Somebody had a womb, but there was fibroid. And the fibroid went. That's what healing. You get the point, right? So what you can do, this can be dicey, but we need to touch the scales that fell off Paul's eyes, really. But it will fit more into a healing than working on miracles. Yeah, you get that, but we can look at that one at a time. Right? Look at chapter 10. Look at chapter 10, verse 4. When Cornelius looked, the angel looked on him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" And it came, "That prayer of thy hands have been heard. And now send men to Joppa and call for one whose name is Peter." Did Ananias know Peter? Did Cornelius know Peter? From this knowledge, he didn't know now. Because the angel gave him the name of the man he should call and his street. And look at it now, verse 5. Send men to Joppa and call for one, Simon, whose surname is Peter. That means you can know someone's name and know their surname by the Spirit. Okay? Yes, supernaturally. Let's do that. He lodged with one Simon the Tanner. Is that not detailed? How can you know somebody's name, his surname, and know his neighbor? Do you understand? He says, "And whose house is by the seaside, he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do." Look at verse 10. Peter became hungry. He would have eaten. While the food was being made, he fell into a trance. Then what happened in verse 13? The voice came to him, "Peter, rise, kill, and eat." But Peter said, "No, Lord, I have never eaten anything that is uncommon or unclean." The voice speaketh unto him again, second time, "What God has cleansed, let no one call uncommon." Call that common. This was done 3 times, and the vessel was shoot up again into heaven. Now, when Peter doubted himself, the vision which he had seen, right? The men which were sent from Cornelius had what? Made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked, "Simon," he said, "Yes, it's me. Is your son named Peter? Or is he you are looking for?" Then when Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, "Behold, 3 men seek thee." Is that word of knowledge?
Yeah.
You see how little it is in the Bible. "Arise therefore, get thee down, go with them, doubting what?"
Nothing.
Then Peter went down with the men which were sent from Cornelius and said, "Behold, I am he whom you seek." Right? What is the cause wherefore ye have come? And what happens? He follows them to Joppa, and for the first time, there's a meeting between who? Cornelius and Peter. How did that happen? Supernaturally by God's Spirit. Let's close the 1 Corinthians 12 as we wrap it up for today. Pick it up again. We're going to look through supernatural and spiritual gifts again next month. So, if you look very well today, we paid attention to word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Right?
Yeah.
So, if you go back to 1 Corinthians 12. "For certainly is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the what? The word of knowledge. By the same Spirit. To another, that of faith, by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing." Then we now have the working of miracles. You see, working of miracles, for instance, can be seen in Acts chapter 3. A man that was lame from birth. Is it Acts 3 or Acts 4? Acts 3. Yeah? Peter and John.
Yes.
Walking through the temple called Gate Beautiful. Right? And he said, "See if I'm good, I don't have that working of miracles." Okay? Yeah? So working of miracles, to another, gives his prophecy. Another discerning of the Spirit, to another what? Kinds of tongues. To another what? Interpretation of tongues. Verse 11. "But all this worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills." So, how many believers can operate in all the gifts of the Spirit?
All
believers. Say, "I can."
"I can."
"Say, I can."
"I can."
Let's say together. "Say, I can."
"I can."
"Operate with the gifts of the Spirit." "Say, the things of the Spirit are natural to me." "Say, the supernatural is my natural." "The supernatural is my natural." "I operate supernaturally in the natural." "Say, my life going forward will be full of supernatural experiences." "My life will be full of supernatural encounters." I will chicken in.
Say, I won't chicken out. 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 Say, I will see what God lays on my heart to edify, to exhort, and bring comfort to myself and to others. Say, from today, my eyes see clearly, my ears, they hear clearly, my mouth, they speak accurately what God wants to be said. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Right? Let's just talk in tongues wherever you are. For honor yourself. Just talk in tongues for a few more seconds, okay? I brand this bush in front of us. And the monocus in the front of us. Prada Varakanabos. So they benemanosh. A brandy was see brandy the vanicate the fratas of Akita. And Jaziza Panamini Kavra is a vanicata. And Jaziza Fakafi. And the means of the Vidigan Mosque. A friend of the Bosch is a vanamanikiza. A keki can protect as of in another sheep fratas of Pia. A petty the brandy. A petty the vaza. A petty kotaba. And the zip top runner was a pronamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanamanaman
Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Glory to God. Well, what a good day to practice the things you've just learned. Okay? So we're all going for evangelism after this meeting, right? And I've spoken to all your cell leaders, and they know what to do, right? So it's going to be evangelism for about 15 minutes into an hour. I've told your leaders your cell zones where you're going to have those encounters and those evangelism and practices. They'll give you flyers. Go out with flyers, go out with your, you know, Bibles as well, and ensure that you spend time with your partners. They're going to divide you as well, just so that you have that experience. Now, one of the things I'm going to say to you as well is this is an opportunity for you to practice the things, right? For as you go out, you will see men from Joppa, and you tell them you are from Joppa, and you'll be correct, right? And mind you, don't forget, even if they say they don't have anything to do with Joppa, what do? You stay with what your course is. You stay with what you are there for. Say what God will have you say. But you will minister, and I declare upon each and every one of you that you see clearly today, and much more than today, in your Christian faith going forward, you see clearly, right? So you'll be accurate. You'll give details. Don't stop there. Yeah, don't stop there. I see, I've had experiences where I'll minister to someone, and after I've mentioned 3-4 details, because the person was overwhelmed by the number of details that were given, the person actually now admitted that from the first name that I mentioned, the person knew who I was talking about. Altogether, right? We've had encounters like that. For instance, I told them an encounter with a Muslim brother who I met, for another brother, a Muslim person, for instance, I'll probably saved, right? Muslim person who I had met, giving him about 5 minutes about his family, number of children he had, number of wives his father had. And it took me to the point where he's saying, well, if you know you are by talking about the spirit and it's not guesswork, what's the name of my maybe 11th brother or 12th brother? And I told you, once you start seeing people like that, just move on and preach the gospel. If they don't want to hear you, move on. Because don't try to start impressing. I see Abdullah. No, don't try that. Just minister, remember, is for edification, exhortation, comfort, right? So you go out of evangelism. Then we go through the announcements. Vision as a church, I would always say, to see people coming to the reality of God's love and to train them for the work of ministry, right? And to reveal Christ to the teaching of God's word is our mission, and to demonstrate love through all facets of life, right? Well, we are back physically to Novotel on Sunday next week, right? Sunday is going to be 3rd of November. We have a meeting in Novotel on Sunday next week. Right, so we just have the place up and not available for today. We had members who had a birthday last week. I think Bratunde was the only one who had his birthday probably the week. Yeah, happy birthday to you, dear brother. We love you so much. And for me as well, as a pastor, it's beautiful to see your growth and that of the sister as well over the last few months into the years. Right, we wish you many more years in sound health, many more years in God's will, many more years doing God's, you know, plan on the earth. Right, let me see. Our next meeting is on Wednesday, 7 p.m., right? And we're going to do that on Google Meet. Like I would always say, midweek services, enjoy you join on Google Meet, not on YouTube, right? So that we can have a sense of accountability for ourselves. And don't just join and put the phone under your pillow. Ensure that you are listening and following, right? Our weekly prayer for our various cells will continue next week. I think only cell zone C are the only ones that have not done their cell group, which is going to happen on Monday. Ensure you are there as well in your various cells on A and B. Beautiful. Went through your meetings yesterday as well. I think that's all for now. There's going to be prayer and then fasting and prayer week in November. So get yourself ready. We'll give the exact dates. Then I think that's basically all for now. Fasting and prayer week is the 25th, week of 25th November. We're going to be praying every day as a church. I'm going to be fasting all through that week. We have all our messages available, like I would always say, on Spotify for now. And our website, www.gospelhour.org, all right, should be updated as much as possible in the coming days. We encourage as well that some of the clips that we check or we share as a local church and group chat, you know, feast on them, feed on them. And much more than that is actually take our time and share with family and friends. You can share with family and friends privately, share with people as well who you know. Right, and also you can share on your WhatsApp today on social media status. Let people get, you know, to expose their hearts to God's word for those who don't have that privilege. Well, giving, like we always say, you can get a link for the giving portal on the website. Right, and we always say, give generously. We trust that, you know, we are co-laborers with God in fulfilling God's will. And our goal and plan as a church is to see that our needs are met within ourselves and that of the local church as well. Parking is free, wherever you are today. Parking is free. And I'll see you all on Friday, Wednesday, 7 p.m. We continue spiritual gifts. I want you all to know that I love you all dearly and have a good week and good evangelism. Cheers.